This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so I got to know for this week what we get for number five.
We've got Cinco de Mayo, and I'm going to lay down some knowledge real quick because I feel like, unfortunately, most of America, if you ask them, they would think that it is Mexico's Independence Day. That's not true. Mexico's Independence Day is September 16th. Now, Cinco de Mayo, it's the annual celebration held on May 5th, because that's what Cinco de Mayo means, and that is to commemorate the Mexican Army's victory over the French Empire in the Battle of the Puebla, May 5th, 1862. All right, everybody listening, it is not Mexico's Independence Day. Know what you're celebrating before you celebrate. PSA over. But everybody loves to celebrate if you're in the United States, you know, any excuse to party. People turn to Google to figure out, like, you know, how can we celebrate? What are some, you know, some sort of deals, some sort of festivities, things like that. And we also looked at, obviously, you know, Cinco de Mayo is kind of synonymous with margarita consumption. And so we looked at the most uniquely searched margaritas by state. And Illinois, you guys are Mezcal. Big Mezcal margarita fans. I hate Mezcal. I just don't understand it. What are your thoughts?
I actually don't like margaritas at all. That's just me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Captain Anti-Fun over here.
Right? You know what, though? Here's a little tidbit. I didn't know Cinco de Mayo was the 5th of May for the longest time.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
I know. It was horrible. I would ask my parents, when's Cinco de Mayo?
Wait, how recently did you figure this out?
Oh, I think I was like 17.
Oh, okay. You know, that's okay. I feel like, yeah, before...
But I was in Spanish, too. How did I not figure this out?
You know, sometimes it's so obvious that you just miss it, you know?
It must be. It's like, when's the 4th of July?
Right. Exactly. Every single year, one of the top search questions around 4th of July is, when is the 4th of July?
Seriously?
Gotta be. I mean, I guess maybe people are searching that to, like, understand the day of the week. I don't know. No, there's no excuse.
There's no excuse. Honestly, there isn't. You have to know this. But that is weird. I didn't know. I honestly thought this was the Independence Day, for Mexico's Independence Day. Why aren't we celebrating the September 16th?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess it kind of rose to prominence in the 1960s, according to the information that I have. Just kind of people just got stoked on it and started raising awareness about the holiday. It kind of signified, like, the victory of the indigenous Mexicans over the European invaders. That was kind of what the point of the Battle of the Puebla was. So, in some ways, maybe it was almost as significant as their independence. I guess not really, because one of them gave them independence. But, yeah, it is interesting. You know, nobody really knows about September 16th. So I guess it's too late to change it now.
Well, Cinco de Mayo just really rolls off the tongue, too. I mean, that works.
Yeah. Let's see. What would it be? And I'm not even going to try. Septiembre, that's what September is, I'm pretty sure, in Spanish. What is 16th? Once, torce, man, I don't know. It doesn't roll off the tongue like Cinco de Mayo.
Exactly. But good effort on your part. I wasn't even going to attempt it.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. Yeah, I was, you know, I did some stuff. I took some Espanol back in the day. Shout out, Miss Spate.
Well, somebody listened. I don't know how I got through Spanish, too.
Yeah, stuff.
So what did we get for number four?
We got Starbucks. And the reason they're trending is because they released these reusable cups, but they change color depending on the temperature of the liquid inside the cup, and people are freaking out. They honestly just flew off the shelves. You can't buy them anywhere. I'm looking at a photo of them. They're pretty cool. Kind of not really blowing anybody's mind, but everybody was excited. And it's cool. I'm stoked on them because they're reusable, so it's cutting down on the single-use plastic. And, you know, they're pretty. You know, pastel shades, blue, green, pink, yellow, orange. And obviously, it just became a very Instagrammable type of a moment, which is why everybody latched onto it. But yeah, they're sold out everywhere, but they sell for $17 around, depending on the location. So they're not cheap. They also come a pack of five, is what I hear, which seems unnecessary to get five at a time. But exciting. I don't know. I think they're cool. I think it's fun. They're in the headlines. So everybody's freaking out about it.
Yeah, I looked at them, and I'm not sure what the big deal is. I mean, they're pretty. I'm not going to say they aren't, but, I mean, $17 pretty? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and the thing is like, dude, color-changing cups based on the temperature been around for a while. I mean, I purchased them myself. I think they're cool. So this isn't groundbreaking new technology that we're embarking upon here. So I agree. I think it's cool. I'm sure that probably people will forget about it by next week.
I don't know. Somebody's going to put them up on eBay for like $100.
Man, eBay is sick. That's true. They probably will. Whatever. I mean, hey, power to you. If you're out there hustling Starbucks reusable cups and making a buck, dude, can't knock the hustle.
That's right. What we get for number three?
We got Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas. So Sophie Turner is Sansa Stark on Game of Thrones, and Joe Jonas, Mr. Popstar guy, and the Jonas Brothers. They got married Wednesday night, and it was like this surprise eloping in Las Vegas right after the Billboard Music Awards, and they were wed by an Elvis impersonator. And people found out mostly because Diplo was there live streaming it, either on his Facebook or Instagram, one of his social media channels, which is just so ridiculous. I mean, it's really funny. I think it's great. I mean, hey, power to you. I love. I'm stoked on them, but it's a pretty interesting procedure how it went down. Like eloping after the Billboard Music Awards, presumably maybe some booze in the system, and then Diplo's live streaming it. I mean, name something more 2019 than that.
I didn't watch the Billboard Music Awards. Did Joe Jonas win something? Like, was he running off a high that he was like, boom, I need to get married right now?
Man, that is a good cue. Looking at some of the top award winners, no. But they are, the Jonas Brothers, like, hinted at some sort of reunion tour or something. They, like, posted some sort of photo with all the dudes that made people think, like, oh, my God, they're gonna go back on tour or something like that. So I think that might have been a little bit of excitement. Yeah, I don't think he had much of a play at the award show.
And I didn't even know they were dating until this happened. I'm like, when? It just came out of left field. Like, what?
I know. I had no idea. I'm not Mr. Pop Culture, but I agree. I had no idea that they were doing that either. It was kind of a shock. But I think that was potentially common knowledge. Well, I hope they've been dating for a while. They just tied the knot. Come on. Let's be smart about this.
I don't know. It happens. People can just elope. That's what Vegas is for. But, you know, congratulations to them. I mean, it's awesome that they got married. And as long as they enjoy themselves, who cares?
Yeah, you know, I guess thinking of, you know, prominent Las Vegas weddings, Rachel Green and Ross Geller, you know, they got married and then they didn't even remember it because they were so drunk. And then they tried to get annulled, but didn't happen. It was Ross's third divorce. So hopefully they don't end up like those.
You know what, Justin, how do you do that? How do you always make at least one Friends reference every Friday?
I know. It's because I have so much knowledge and I can just relate it to every single situation, no matter what, that I got to throw it in there at some point. You know, just casually. You know, praise to the Friends.
It's a great talent you have. What do we get for number two?
So we got the Billboard Music Awards, which we were just talking about, but there's tons to discuss because a lot of things went down. Yeah, our favorite, Taylor Swift, performed her great new single that is so awesome. Man, it sucks, dude. And we could do a separate show on that. But she performed it. It's Me, all caps, exclamation mark, with a guy from Panic! The Disco, Brendan Urie, and it's terrible. But they performed it, which is cool, whatever. They did like a big drumline thing. They made it literally rain on stage. They had dancers with coming down from umbrellas, so I don't know. But one of the funnier parts of the night was Paula Abdul was performing. First live performance at an award show in 29 years, because she's doing a Las Vegas residency, so she's trying to promote that. And she threw her hat off at one point, and it hit Julianne Hough, the dancer from one of the professional dancers on Dancing with the Stars, right in the neck, which was pretty silly. Madonna danced with holograms. Drake became the most awarded artist in the Billboard Music Awards history. He nabbed 12 awards. Didn't really watch, but I watched the highlights.
I didn't watch it at all. I didn't know Taylor Swift performed there. I want to go watch it now.
I mean, dude, give it a watch. Again, it's catchy. It's a catchy song. Literally anybody in the world that could sing that song. You blindfold somebody, you have them listen to that, you don't know. They're just going to be like, yeah, it's some generic female pop star that's singing it. I expect more, personally, from Taylor Swift. But the performance was fine. Whatever.
I'm thinking that she was doing a favor to Brandon, you know, the lead singer of Panic! At the Disco. I'm thinking she was doing him a favor. Maybe he needed the money, and she was just like, you know what? I have this really old poppy song. I don't know what to do with it, but, you know, we can collab together and just figure it out, right? She was helping him. Because you're right, I do expect more from Tay-Tay.
I know, dude. I was listening to Forever and Always piano version the other day, and my God, the emotion in that song is just palpable. And this is just so cookie-cutter pop. I don't know. But I agree. I mean, they definitely catapulted him back into relevance. I personally love Fanny the Disco quite a bit. I listen to a few and Can't Sweat Out pretty regularly, but... yeah, I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily know who he is, and now he's absolutely in the spotlight. I mean, collaborating with Taylor Swift doesn't get much bigger than that.
So true. What do we get for number one?
Yeah, number one, we've got John Singleton, who passed away unexpectedly. He was only 51 years old. He's film legend, director. He directed, so his breakout movie, and what he's probably most known for, is he was the director of Boys in the Hood. And dude, he was only 22 years old when he directed that movie. I mean, what were you doing? I didn't even know how to tell time when I was 22 years old, and this guy's out there. You didn't even know what Cinco de Mayo was when you were 22 years old. You're still asking your parents when that was. So for him to direct a film like that is incredible. And that was in, like, the early 90s. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, it hit this hard. I mean, a lot of people were turning to Google to figure out, you know, what his legacy was, which we see often when somebody dies like this. But a lot of people came to social media to kind of express their condolences, Janet Jackson, Spike Lee, Jordan Peele, Ice Cube. So that's a bummer. I mean, the guy is an absolute legend.
You're right about Boys in the Hood. That was one of the biggest films that I remember growing up watching. Cuba Gooding Jr., I think that was his breakout role, was in that movie. I didn't know he was 22, though. That was incredibly young.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he was actually nominated for Best Director for that movie. And he is still the youngest ever to be nominated for the Best Director Oscar. He lost Silence of the Lambs, who was Jonathan Demme? I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name. But he lost that. But, I mean, man, can you imagine? You are 22 years old, you direct this film, and you become, nominated for Best Director. I mean, it's a totally insane. He still is the youngest to ever do that. So I can't imagine anybody is going to beat that.
Well, not just that movie, Poetic Justice with Tupac.
Yep.
Great movie, too. I mean, he did a lot of work that, and you don't realize, like, wow, he was pretty incredible. Right. It's
Four Brothers, sad. Too Fast, Too Furious, Higher Learning. Yeah, it's awesome. And, I mean, just so young. He's 52 years old, or 51 years old. So, yeah, sad time.
Did they say how he passed away?
You know, based on the notes that I have here, he suffered from hypertension, and it was complications from a stroke. I guess that was the cause of death.
Oh, well, condolences to his family, friends, and all the fans out there. He'll be missed a lot.
Definitely.
What we get for the top YouTube video this week?
Yeah, we've got Sonic the Hedgehog official trailer. And I gotta say, I'm stoked on this. I'm sure that you are, too, being the gamer that you are. I was never the biggest Sonic guy. I didn't have a Sega. I didn't have a Sega Genesis or anything like that. But Jonathan Launderholm did. And I used to go over there and play quite a bit. And I feel like it does capture the essence of the video game pretty well. And then also we got Jim Carrey, which is great. I mean, I think that he's perfect. He's playing Dr. Robotnik. And, man, it seems like that's going to be great. But I also feel like they did Sonic, the actual hedgehog, they did him really well. And it seems to, like, bring that kind of old-school essence into 2019. So I think it's going to be great.
See, I'm excited to watch it just because I like watching bad movies, but I don't like the way that, I don't like the way Sonic the Hedgehog was designed. They gave him teeth. Sonic never was portrayed with, like, teeth. I don't know. It looks kind of weird.
That's what you're upset about? The teeth?
And his arms, they weren't hairy. I know.
He's going to be talking with gums?
I don't know, but they could have done it better. Just his eyes weren't human. They were kind of like goggle-ish. I don't know, but it looked weird. I'm going to get used to it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it just because I want to see the movie. But when it comes to Jim Carrey, his portrayal as Dr. Robotnik, it's going to be kind of, it looks kind of cool. I'm kind of excited about it. I just want to see how it's going to work out in the end.
I agree, because based on the trailer, it seems like Jim Carrey is very much himself playing Dr. Robotnik. Like, when he was talking to the general and he was listing off reasons that he is more qualified to lead that specific investigation, like, that was him in Liar Liar, that was him in Ace Ventura, both Pet Detective and When Nature Calls. So it's interesting, like, Jim Carrey definitely preserves the essence of his character, which is great, because that's why we all love Jim Carrey. So I got high hopes.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Carrey was perfect for it, because Dr. Robotnik is kind of neurotic. So he knows how to portray that very well. And that's why I'm excited. If anything, Jim Carrey's back is going to be hurting because he's going to have to carry this movie.
Boom! Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.